Good morning. Welcome to our worship today. This is the last Sunday of the Easter season. Last Thursday, we celebrated the Ascension of our Lord, and next week will be Pentecost Sunday. But today, the focus of our service is that we live in eager anticipation of the glory of the Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus said, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Hallelujah. We turn to the Lord and say, "We have come together to stand in your presence, to worship you. But who may appear in your presence, Heavenly Father? Who may call on you for help? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive blessings from the Lord." Knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled his purpose here on this earth and has confirmed every word of prophecy by his triumphant return to heaven, we confess our sins and ask God to pardon us by his grace. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out all our sins. Wash away all our iniquities. Cleanse us from our sins. Dear friends, the Lord is, in his grace and mercy, has promised us the forgiveness through our Savior Jesus. This was confirmed by his resurrection and now sealed by his ascension. Peace be with you. Amen. We pray, Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, was taken up in glory. He now intercedes for us at your right hand. Through your living and abiding word, give us hearts to know him and faith to follow where he has gone, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is going to be an ascension narrative that's compiled from the last chapters of the Gospels, and then from Acts chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We begin then with this narrative. After his suffering, Jesus showed himself to the disciples, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Later, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus then led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. He gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Then Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And while he was blessing them, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. The disciples were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men, dressed in white, stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the disciples worshipped Jesus, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. They preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word. This is the word of our Lord. We turn now then to our message for today. It's from Acts chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is God's word. When flying, there are basically three ways to fly: first class, business class, or economy class. First class is the most expensive, but also the most comfortable. Some first class seats, they stretch out completely so the passengers can sleep. Business class has high quality, roomy seats designed for business travelers who want to get work done well without the rubbing of the elbows with that person sitting right next to them. Economy class is the cheapest way to fly, but it's also the least comfortable, and it can be the riskiest. You might get stuck in the middle seat. You might get stuck sitting to someone who is very annoying. Well, did you know that back in the Old West, stagecoach tickets were sold much like airline tickets are sold today? There were three different classes: first, second, or third. First class tickets meant you could remain seated in the stage no matter what. If the stage got stuck in the mud, if it had trouble making up a steep climb, or even if a wheel fell off, you could remain in the stage with a first class ticket. Second class ticket holders had to leave the coach if any of the problems, which I just mentioned, occurred. However, once outside the coach, you could stand off to the side. You could watch until the problem was solved. By now you probably have guessed what the third class ticket holders had to do. If the stage got stuck in the mud, not only had you to get off the stage, you had to help push. If the stagecoach lost a wheel, you had to hold it up while it was replaced or repaired. Our theme for today is third class Christians. Our ascended Savior wants us to be, and he empowers us to be, third-class Christians. Christians who are willing to roll up their sleeves and get to work. Luke, the evangelist Luke, he's the writer of Acts. He's also the writer of the Gospel of Luke. Well, he writes this second book now, a sequel to his Gospel, the book of Acts, and he begins the book by telling us that our purpose on earth is clear. He begins with these words: "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He spoke about the kingdom of God." These verses, which I just read, point to the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, his completed work of saving sinners. My friends, before we carry out our purpose, we need to hear again and again the glorious purpose of Jesus. The Apostle Paul summed it up this way in one of his epistles. He said, "Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Jesus turned us, ugly sinners, into beautiful saints. Jesus transformed us from a child or children of the devil into children of God. And Jesus didn't do that just by, you know, snapping his fingers. He did it by paying sin's price. He did it by living that perfect life here on this earth. He did it then by shedding that precious blood of his as he hung on Calvary's cross. He did it with that death. And to prove it, he cried out, "It is finished." That sentence on Good Friday was a fact. And he rose again on Easter Sunday by tapping into his power as the Almighty Son of God. And Luke goes on. He says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." There are many occasions when we would receive gifts. At this time of the year, you'd think of graduations or confirmations. But then there's birthdays and Christmas and weddings, just to name a few. Well, here Jesus promises a going away gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit. And the disciples received that gift in a most remarkable way on Pentecost. But my friends, no less remarkable is the gift the Holy Spirit gives us. And he gives it to us in the gospel, the assurance of forgiveness, his body and blood in the Lord's Supper, where we hear Jesus say, "This is for you for the forgiveness of sins." In our holy baptism, we are attached to the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives us understanding of God's teachings as he opens up our hearts as we turn to his word. Luke goes on, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' Jesus said, 'It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.'" And so in these final instructions, two things Jesus does. First of all, he gets rid of any kind of speculation on the disciples' parts. They longed for the glorious days of King David and Solomon, not just them, most of those people that followed Jesus. They longed for Israel to be free from political shackles of the hated Romans. Well, today, so many Christians waste their time in speculation too, about the glory days of heaven. So many are so fascinated with the kingdom of God that leads them to try to pinpoint the exact date of his return. Well, regarding all of this, Jesus bluntly just says, "You leave that up to me. In the meantime, get busy doing what I want you to do." And that's the second thing Jesus does, is clearly defines what he wants us to do. Our purpose is clear. Verses 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Can you imagine the emotions that were just going through the disciples when they heard this? Okay, Peter, you cover Jerusalem. John, you take care of Judea. James, you go to Samaria. And the rest of you cover the ends of the earth. When those disciples later were gazing into the sky with their mouths wide open, as Jesus was ascending into heaven, I don't think it was because of what Jesus was doing, but perhaps because of what he had said. Be his witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That had to be overwhelming, just as it is for us. Let's be honest. You'll be my witnesses. That takes most of us out of our comfort zone. And to bring us into a more comfortable zone, we need to zero in not on what we're going to say, but rather on whom needs to hear what we have to say. Is there someone in your life that's hurting? Someone who is drifting? Someone who is destroying his or her life with guilt? Are there people around you who are lonely, sick, worried, facing problems? Maybe an aged parent, a troubled marriage, a wayward child. As you identify these people, reach out and touch them with the love of God, with your sincerity of love and concern for them. It starts with your actions and then it ends with your words. When people know that you're sincere, doors will open. David Hume was a philosopher and a religious skeptic, but he often attended church. And a friend asked him, "Why? You're a skeptic. Why do you attend church?" And Hume replied, "I don't believe every word the preacher says, but the preacher does. And once in a while, it's nice to hear a person who believes what he says." What's the point? Well, through the love and sincerity that that preacher had, he gave himself a chance to be heard. That preacher was given an opportunity to share the gospel, to be a witness, to carry out the purpose that God had given to him. No matter what our occupation might be, no matter what we are in our life, our purpose is all the same: to be Jesus's witnesses with our lives, with our lips. Third-class Christians just don't sit. Our purpose on earth is clear, but as we turn to the closing verses, our ascended Savior assures us that our place in heaven is secure. Verses 9 through 11. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." I don't know if it will happen this year or not, but I love going to my sister and brother-in-law's house in Wisconsin. And the reason is because they live in the home where I grew up. And even though my parents are no longer there, it just still brings back many wonderful memories. Special place to give thanks to God for the great joy and blessings of my childhood, my life. Well, as good as that is, heaven's going to be a zillion times better. And with all our hearts, with every fiber of our being, we look forward to the day when Jesus will come back and take us to that home of heaven, to live with him forever in heaven. Heaven is secure. But until Jesus comes back to take us, we're going to continue to live here on this earth. And Jesus is living with us. In June 1937, Pastor Martin Niemöller, he was arrested by the German Gestapo for preaching, "We must obey God rather than men." Well, the morning his trial began, a guard escorted him through a long tunnel from the cell down to the courtroom. And suddenly, Pastor Niemöller, he was just overcome with fear. What would happen to him? What tortures awaited him? What about his family? The guard showed no emotion as they were walking. He was silent until they were about to enter the courtroom, when then the guard whispered the words of Proverbs 18, verse 10. "Pastor, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Immediately the pastor's fear went away. We have that same promise as that pastor long ago. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Come what may, our place in heaven is secure. Third-class Christians, which we are, let's get busy while we got the chance. Our purpose is clear. Our place is secure. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue then with prayer. Blessed Lord, you have ascended to the right hand of your Father's majesty, power, and glory, and now you reign as the eternal King. We praise you for your victory over sin and death, Satan and hell. Give us courage and give us power to use the words that you have taught us and make success to our efforts as we share that joyous message with others. And Heavenly Father, as your Son sits next to you, we thank him that he represents us before you in that eternal home of heaven. We ask that you would defend us against Satan's every accusation. plead for mercy for us, dear Lord. You are our Lord, our Master, and King. As the disciples lifted up their eyes to watch your ascension, so lift our eyes daily to look for your coming again in glory. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God bless your week.